Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Over the next 3 days, a unique group of people will come together in an effort to explore criminal justice reform in a novel way. The symposium is called the Milwaukee Model, and it's being organized by the Milwaukee Art Museum and the Hagerty Museum of Art. The idea is to explore how arts and educational programming can play a role in changing attitudes towards prison and criminal justice.
It's taking place in the midst of a remarkable exhibit on display at the Milwaukee Art Museum, which features photographs taken by prison employees documenting life inside the walls of California's San Quentin prison. Nigel Poor curated that exhibit and is also an artistic collaborator with Michael Nelson on a project called Assignment Number 2. Nelson was formerly incarcerated at San Quentin for murder. They both join us in the studio now, along with the Milwaukee Art Museum's curator of photography, Lisa Sutcliffe. Welcome to all three of you.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you.
What sort of parallels do you see between what you are doing with the photographs that comprise the exhibit that's now on at the Milwaukee Art Museum and maybe the larger aims of this symposium that you're also part of?
Well, so the collaborative photographic projects that I worked at in San Quentin were about getting people's voices out, being heard, being seen, giving people the opportunity to express thoughts in a creative and interesting way. And to me, that's what the symposium is about, is about giving voice.
Lisa Sutcliffe, I guess when you first were in touch with Nigel to kind of get this exhibition going, where did you see the sort of work that she's doing? First of all, in the context of what the whole point of the Milwaukee Art Museum is, but also in this kind of larger context.
Well, I actually knew Nigel before she started this project, and I was really interested in it when she began showing what she'd been making with the men in her class. And when I moved here to Milwaukee, I've been thinking a lot about issues that are relevant to our audience here, and because we have the worst rate of incarceration of African-American men in the country and the zip code with the highest incarceration rate per capita, I've been thinking about how we can make exhibitions that are a platform for conversations about issues that are relevant to us. So I really wanted to bring this exhibition to Milwaukee to think about what Nigel's done at San Quentin and how we can think about these issues here in Milwaukee.
So Mike Nelson and Nigel Poor, can you talk about the roots of what became Assignment Number 2? This actually started with a class within San Quentin, right?
I was a student at the Prison University Project.
That's right.
At San Quentin State Prison when I was there. And we met,
in the photography class.
Yeah.
I was teaching a class. I didn't have much more in mind than that. just looking for different ways. Because the class was a history of photography class and we couldn't bring cameras in there, I wanted to come up with assignments that allowed people to have the feeling of creation, of making something and not just writing papers. So in my mind, it was trying to come up with creative assignments. And Michael just happened to do something exceptional that brought it to a different level. I know he's probably cringing hearing that. But
Well, what was that exceptional thing?
Well, he wrote this amazing essay about two photographs. So the assignment was each guy in the class got two images by well-known artists. They didn't know anything about the artists, and they had to live with those images and write a response to them. And Michael happened to get a picture by Hiroshi Sugimoto and Richard Mizrach, and I would let him tell you about his experience about writing it, but he just happened to key into some really essential issues that, you know, everybody experiences, and that's what came out in his essay.
Right. So, Mike, what was it about these two photographs that really struck you?
Well, for starters, I was at that time placed in administrative segregation, so in isolation. And my state of being at that time was, I think it would have been a lot different if I were out with the other students or the other prisoner population. The photographs for me represented this tension that I was feeling within myself and in the space that I was in, especially, and this is the first time that I've seen this in years in person.
So yeah, how's that feel?
It's bringing some stuff. I think.
And can we describe maybe just really briefly what the two photographs are?
Yeah, sure. Please. So they're both of movie theaters. The Hiroshi Sugimoto is a long exposure of an interior of an old-fashioned theater. So the exposure is as long as the film, and so what you see is just a white screen. And then the other one is of a drive-in, and that one's by Richard Mizrach. It's very isolated. It's in a dilapidated area. And I think both of the images have a sense of the absence of people. Oh, my God, I think I just quoted you. I think that's actually in your essay.
Well, and so this tension that you're talking about was what?
Yeah, and so Nigel just used the word isolation. The two images stand alone in their own way. And in that present physical space that I was in, I definitely felt alone. And then in life, there's been a lot of different experiences and opportunities that I've been faced with where there was a deep sense of void. And so I think on a deeper level, I really connected with both images. I wasn't really aware of it at that point, but there's definitely something that spoke to me.
And it's interesting, when he was in the class, and then, as he said, he was put in ADSEG. So he was just gone. I mean, he became, in some ways, a void to me because I couldn't have any contact with him. The only contact I could have was by getting him this assignment, not knowing what was going to happen with it and not knowing if and when I was going to see him again. And I think that's one of the things about when you're put in there, you don't know how long you're going to be there.
Right.
And to me, that's another frightening layer of that experience.
What did having this assignment to do mean to you in that time?
Well, I mean, first off, it broke up the space. I think I originally wrote you a letter saying if you could drop me.
Yes.
Because I don't know if I'll be able to make it back to finish up the course or something like
that. Yeah, exactly.
And so I was extremely grateful when I received the material back, encouraging me to do the assignment, and the support that I received from Nigel's end and Doug.
Yes.
Saying that we'll continue having you in our class, yeah, and allowing you to participate even from that end of things. So the breaking up the physical space, but then just having that sense of support and encouragement from on the other end felt really nice, especially from being in a place where I had no contact with anyone.
Well, so Nigel, how or maybe why or maybe when did the light bulb go off that this work that Mike did as part of this course, mm-hmm, might have an impact that extends far beyond just that cell or the prison walls,
right,
but to all of us?
Well, I'm getting chills as you ask me that question because I remember the first time I read his essay, I think a couple sentences in, I knew that there was something really special here and that it would resonate with people in any situation. So I think anyone who reads it or hears it is going to immediately connect with the kind of the urgency and the emotional vulnerability that comes across in the writing. I don't think it matters where you are or what your experience is when you read it, because it talks about experience that's common to everybody. So I knew very quickly, and I shared it with one of the artists, with Richard Mizrach, and he immediately was astounded by it. So it didn't take me very long to realize that this was something special that other people needed to hear.
I guess I hadn't planned on this, but I'm wondering whether Mike, you might be willing to read maybe the first paragraph of this essay.
Sure, I'm curious to know what it says.
I can almost quote the first paragraph.
A picture screen stands in solitude in both Theaters by Hiroshi Sugimoto and The Desert Cantos by Richard Mizrach. Where the two photographs are separated by a decade, both screens are reunited by their lack of an image, as well as an audience to witness their existence. Ironically, the art of these photographs is created by the actual photographs themselves and not by the screens in which, at one point, were used as vessels for artistic expression. Sugimoto and Mizrach both capture separate images by using their unique styles and techniques. At first glance, the two photographs spark a complete contrast in their aesthetic design. However, after closer observation, Sugimoto and Mizrach both create a similar shot that conveys a similar story.
That's
right.
I'm almost speechless,
yeah,
honestly. So it's not hard to understand how reading that you would immediately think this is something that should have a wider audience.
Yeah.
At the same time, I mean, I think of the parallel between what Mike's done here and these photographs that are part of the exhibit. How did you work through the issues of, I don't know, appropriation, if that's the right word, of things that weren't necessarily initially intended as art,
right,
but had their own artistic value.
Yeah, yeah. So for me, the photographs that are in the archive, which is different than
sure.
what we're talking about right now, again, document a time and place, a place that most people don't get to see. And it seemed like the appropriate way to have people who live there, who understand that world, express something about their own experience. So it's interesting if it's appropriation. I never really thought of it that way. I thought of it as using existing material and giving it another life, which maybe is exactly what appropriation is. But I think there's a humanness and a warmth to what's done with the pictures. And sometimes I think of appropriation as kind of this clinical examination of something. So I saw what we did with that work as enlivening images that existed for a different purpose.
Well, and do you think in terms of documenting a time and place, it's hard to separate what you wrote from the circumstances that you were in at the time that you wrote it?
Yeah, just seeing it right now brings me back to that place. Like, I'm literally sweating right now.
Yeah.
And I was not prepared to see it, even though I knew what I was coming here for. I haven't been in San Quentin for a number of years now, and so I have my own energy and association with the prison as a whole, and then this assignment in particular. And then throughout the entire process of this creation, like, it was difficult for me to accept that this was becoming something larger than my school assignment, because that's how I see it, and from a place that I was not in a happy place. And so, yeah, I have a lot of associations with it.
Yeah, so he hasn't seen it installed at the museum yet, and of course I'm very curious about his reaction. And this brings up a good point about when you work on projects, when you're not incarcerated and you work on projects with people who are, how you try to translate the experience of what's happening just to what they've done. And I try to do that, but it's never possible to give, for example, Michael the full experience of how other people were taking it in. So there has to be a lot of trust there, you know, from Michael's side, that I'm doing justice to what he did and not taking advantage of it. So, I mean, it's a conundrum. So I'm going to be very curious how he's going to feel when he actually sees it installed at a museum.
Lisa Sutcliffe, talk about taking conversations like the one we're having in this studio and taking them beyond the walls of a radio studio to people who ought to hear them.
So I think the reason I think this is such an interesting conversation is because there are so many ethical questions and so many things to talk about. So there's both the exhibition, in which we've tried to give voice to as many of the collaborators as possible, but of course they're incarcerated for the most part, and so they are either there through their voice or through quotes or through what they wrote on various objects. And so in order to try and create a bi-directional exhibition, we're trying to collect as many responses as possible for Nigel to bring back to the prison. And then I think one of the things that I find really important about the exhibition is providing a platform for conversation. And so the symposium offers us a chance to bring in as many people as possible who work in this, either in prison programs or in diversion programs, and to ask questions like this. And I think asking them in public and allowing people who come and experience the exhibition to hear what people have to say who've been involved in this kind of work will provide a chance for people to really understand a population that has been invisible for the most part.
Mike Nelson, in just a few minutes after we finish this interview, you're going to see this exhibit for the first time. What are you feeling and thinking right now?
The thought of seeing whatever I'm going to see at the museum, I'm a little nervous. I actually, when first asked to come here, I was sharing with Nigel on the plane that I didn't want to. There's a big part of me that really honors my past and the work that I have a responsibility to do as somebody who committed a lot of harm in the world. And so there's this tension with also wanting to move on with my life and to do other things. And as much as I appreciate what's happened here with this project, it also reminds me of that place that I was in just 5 months ago. Mm. And so feeling a little nervous, being mindful again that I do have a responsibility to continue this work somehow and stay connected, and just a human curiosity to see what it looks like and to see the responses without my face being up
yes.
there, which is nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you still write essays?
I do not. The funny thing about all this is I don't even like school.
So it's a shame because apparently you were very good at it.
I can't remember if he was good at all the other assignments, so. But he was good at this one. But I think what that points out is that people have moments of inspiration, right, where something really beautiful can happen, and that was a moment, right? It doesn't mean that that's what their whole life focuses on, and that can, you know, happen at any time.
Like, it's just a reminder for me that where there is darkness, so I felt like I was in a place of darkness at the time, and then something came of it. And so as a reminder for me that even in darkness, opportunity arises to create light. And I feel like this is a representation of that. As weird as it is for me and as hard as it is for me to accept that this has created its life, I also acknowledge that it has impacted people and touched people and connected in different ways. And so I hold a lot of gratitude for that opportunity that in that space I was able to really connect with this, and then it grew.
I want to put him on the spot, but I think the last sentence kind of sums up everything we're trying to say.
Oh, that no one person is ever really alone in their experiences and with their feelings.
Mike Nelson, Nigel Poor, Lisa Sutcliffe, thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Artist Nigel Poor and former San Quentin inmate Michael Nelson collaborated on a project called Assignment Number 2. Poor is also the curator of an exhibit now on at the Milwaukee Art Museum called The San Quentin Project, Nigel Poor and the Men of San Quentin Prison. Lisa Sutcliffe is the Hertzfeld Curator of Photography at the museum.
Poor and Nelson speak as part of a Friday afternoon panel during the Milwaukee Model Symposium at the Milwaukee Art Museum. You'll find more information about it at WUWN.com.